To be the best, you need to play with the best. You might not have your own personal high-level circle of women yet, but you can hang with us on the Female Millionaire Show. I'm Midori Verity, serial entrepreneur for over 25 years, and I interview badass female founders and cut through to what you really need to know. So in 20 minutes, you have what can take years to learn. If you're wanting to play bigger, come play with us. Join the Female Entrepreneur Revolution today. Cheers. Today, we are talking about, what is it, UI, UX?
Yes, UI, UX and website design.
Okay, so you heard it. UI, UX, it's all about your experience of a website because I can't tell you how many women I talk to who are constantly revising their websites. But yes. Really what the key is the messaging and the UI UX. And so we're going to be talking about that with our guest today, Chelsea Phillips. She is the founder of Whole Web Works. And if you go to her website, you'll see their motto is, you can have it all. Custom websites, budget-friendly prices. I love that motto. And so yes. Tell us about you, Chelsea. Tell us about how'd you get here? How did you decide, you know what, it's time for me to launch a business?
Yeah, so actually, I wasn't setting out to launch my own business. I started out wanting to be a help to somebody else in launching their own business. And so I set up my business to be a help to her, and that ended up not panning out. And so I said, you know what? I've already got this time and effort and money invested in this. Let's see what can happen. And so prior to launching my own business, I'd already been helping other small businesses, nonprofits, churches, et cetera, kind of with their website needs. And so I already kind of had that foundation and I thought, let's make it a go. Let's do this.
Awesome. Okay. So you launch your business, you open the doors and you came from a background with parents who had a business, but you didn't, you told me before we hit record, I didn't want to start a business. But somehow you ended up here and now you have four employees. It's only been 3 years and you have four team. I don't know if they're employees or not, or if they're team members.
Team. It's a team.
Some contractors. Yeah. How did you get clients? How did you start building and, you know, to the point where you could subcontract?
Right. Yeah. So, like you said, I had no interest in starting my own business and I knew it was a lot of work and that kind of thing. But how I gained clientele was networking. Networking to me is super important. I know social media is like the way a lot of people want to go nowadays, and I'm not discounting that at all. It's super important as well. But for me, networking has been so I started out, I got my first client through one of my sisters, actually. And kind of said, you know what, I've just started my business, I'll give you a good deal. And let's kind of work on this together. They're still one of my clients, by the way. And so from there, that launched into a couple more websites and a couple more websites. And, you know, the more you network, the more your clients are willing to recommend you. And then pretty soon, before long, then you're starting to get clients outside of your sphere of influence. And to me, that's when it really hit home, like, hey, I know what I'm doing. I can do this. When I started getting clients outside of my network and just continuing that kind of path has led me to where I am today and being able to get those contractors on my team and kind of outsource that and offer a full range of services to people.
Now, before we hit record as well, I love the pre-record conversations. That's where I get so much intel. So yeah. You said that you tend to be an introvert.
Yes.
Is that right? So
yes,
going and networking ain't easy for most introverts.
No.
So talk to us about that. Because I think that's really critical for women to hear is even if you are an extrovert, how do you talk about your business enough to the point where people are like, oh, I'm interested. Tell me more. So talk to us about how you do that.
Right. Yeah, it is a chore. It very much is when you are very much a homebody, you are an introvert, you don't necessarily like getting outside of your shell. Even this is a big step for me. I want to be behind a screen and I'll talk to you through email, text message, whatever. And that's mostly how I do my business. However, you know, in the business world, I have been fortunate before starting my own business to be in certain positions where it kind of forces you outside of that. And I've learned to turn it on when I need to. It's not comfortable, but I can. And so with that, then it's and the networking ultimately does you no good if you cannot back it up with a good work ethic and discipline and quality work and customer service. So, and those are the things I excel at being an introvert, because it's like I want to make sure that you have the best product you can have. And so it's like, yes, it may be uncomfortable for me to go out and get that, but once I go out and get your business, I mean, let's face it, we become friends, right? Because we work together so closely, and many of my clients are like, you're part of the family now. So, that helps kind of overcome that uncomfortableness for me a little bit, is treating my clients not like clients, but more like a family member or a friend. And that definitely helps kind of compensate for that.
So when you go to these events and you're having to talk to someone who's not already your friend, not someone who you know, how do you approach that? Do you just kind of just start talking and have a conversation? And then, if it's a business event, eventually it always comes to you. So what do you do? How do you open that door and how do you articulate what you do where they're leaning in? Because there's a lot of people who build websites, quite frankly, right? So why do they trust you? Why do they say, you know what, I'm going to give you a chance?
Yeah, and a lot of that goes back to, my overarching phrase is that we're at the custom websites, so everybody wants custom, right? Because it kind of sets you apart. But then we're also at that budget-friendly price. And so that is something I'm passionate about, and so I'm able to talk more freely and openly about it with people, because at the end of the day, I'm a tightwad. I don't like spending any money that I don't have to. And so I think that, especially in this economy, really resonates with people, is you want a $10,000 website, but I can't afford that. And I can't really DIY it myself. So kind of people are stuck in this in between of like, what do I do? And I think that's where I've really, filled that gap for people, is I've given them that middle ground, that in between, where you can have something that looks really awesome at a budget friendly price. And because I'm passionate about that, I have the ability to kind of start with that. That's kind of my lead, is like, I like to do my homework. So like ahead of time, I'll go out to somebody's website and I say, okay, I see you're doing this, this, and this. Here's how I can save you money, or here's how I can make it better. And then that is what I think you said, lean forward. That's what gets people to kind of lean forward a little bit and listen and say, yeah, maybe let's give this a shot. And I also have examples usually that I can provide people as well. Like, if they're looking at a ticketing system, for example, and you're paying X amount with this company, here's what it would cost to go with me. And within a year, you can recoup the cost of the initial setup fee and all of that. So I think just being open and honest with people, as well as kind of that hook of, we can actually save you money and you can afford to have this awesome website.
So you're really addressing their need and then their desire, right? So there's two different things. And then, but then you went beyond that to say, look, let's look at your site and here's how I can make this work for you. So you're not just talking, you're showing them and then you're giving examples. So there's layers to what you do to build that trust to the point where they say yes. Okay, so
Yes,
now I want to
exactly.
change, I want to switch gears a little bit, because you talked about the UI UX, even though I can't necessarily remember the acronym. It's so critical because people want to have this beautiful website, but often beauty does not equate to dollars in your pocket or conversions, right? So talk to us a little bit about some of the things that people don't realize that are critical to having a website that converts.
Sure. Yeah. So UI UX is user interface and user experience. So how does it look and how do they use it? And those two things actually play into what's called SEO, or search engine optimization, which is what ranks you higher in search results. So it's not just about the beauty of it all, although let's face it, we all like things that look nice, but it also helps you rank higher. So in today's society, between typically 70 and 80% of your users are going to be on their mobile device looking at your website. So it's not like it used to be where you have these big screens and you have all this room and let's make this look pretty like a billboard. That's not necessarily the case anymore. It's how is somebody going to be navigating through your website, get the information that they need to get in a timely manner? Because let's face it too, they're not going to be on your website for very long typically. And if it's slow to load, they're gone. And then also, how do they navigate through that information to find what they need? So there's tricks that the average person DIYing their website aren't necessarily going to know, as far as, on mobile screen, make your button full width. That just makes it easier for somebody to navigate. Just simple little things like that, or even the color schemes that you can pick. I know, especially as women in the industry, typically we like to see, floral designs and these pastel colors and things like that, but those don't necessarily translate well to websites, because if there's not a lot of contrast between things, then it's harder for people to pick up on quickly as well. So those are the kind of things that I can come in and say, okay, yeah, your logo's fine for a logo, but for a color palette on your website, let's maybe tweak the colors just a little bit, still on brand, but to where those things really make you pop over your competition.
Interesting. So what I'm hearing you say is that you also kind of help with the branding part of it. You can take their brand. You're not saying that you're going to re well, maybe you do redo it the whole
Can
thing,
if they
but you
want.
can you can see a brand and say, this is not going to work. I know what you want, but it's too soft. You're not coming across the way that you want to come across. So we need to alter things,
And
right?
at the end of the day, too, it's up to the customer, the client, on what they want. So I'm not here to override you and rail you into something that you don't want, because if your website ends up looking like me, I failed. But I will come alongside you and say, hey, have you thought about this? Let's try this. It's really kind of going back to the relationship thing. We have a relationship. We build that rapport. We build that trust, where I say, okay, in my experience, this. And then that client, it's their decision. They can choose to go with that or not. But at least I'm coming alongside them and saying, here's my recommendations for you.
What's the biggest mistake that you see on websites? What's super common that can be so easily fixed?
Super common. I would say it would be like the overall layout and color scheme of things. Things aren't consistently spaced, or they're hard to read, things like that. Another thing that it's kind of 50-50 on people using hard to read fonts and headings. Now, I do have some clients that have said, yeah, this is what I want to go with, and that's fine. But I find it interesting, even among like big name brands like Johnson & Johnson, Eddie Bauer, some of the others, I've actually changed their original logos to be non-cursive logos, because some of the younger generation is having a harder time reading those things. And so they've actually changed to either a serif or sans serif font rather than cursive. So I think that just kind of taking a note from their book is like, let's make things as easy and simple as possible.
Okay, that is a huge aha. Did you all hear that? For those of you who are in my age range, the millennials don't know cursive. And so we have to be aware of that. And the other point that I want to make is a lot of times I see women's websites where they're beautiful, but like you said, the headers are in a font that's hard to read. It doesn't, you have to capture the attention so fast. And although it's beautiful, no one knows what you're saying,
Yep,
in that
exactly.
quick split second that you have. So I think that's a really important point that you mentioned. Is there anything else? You talked about the buttons. Should we have buttons everywhere?
Yeah, so the overall philosophy on that is the more ways that somebody can navigate to get to the information that they need, the better. Now, obviously, you don't want to overdo it and button here, button here, button here. But yeah, you want multiple ways to navigate to the same place. Especially on mobile device, if you're scroll, 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 and then you have to either, tap back up to the top or whatever. You want to say like, okay, I'm reading this section. Now I want to click on this. You don't want to have to find another way to get to that. So if you're wanting them to go to a page, put a button there. Like after your little blurb, put a button. Don't make them hunt for that page.
Okay, awesome. That's good to know. I've heard different philosophies, but yours makes a lot of sense. Anything else that we should know about our websites to make our lives better?
I would say it's tempting to DIY it. It is. But if at all possible, hire somebody that knows what they're doing and can do a good job for you. And that not just will build it for you, but then also be there to support you. I've heard of so many instances where people go out to Fiverr and outsource a website for $200, $500, and oh, I got a $200 website, and it's like, yeah, it looks like it. Not to be mean, but it looks like it. And then, then what? What do you do with it after that point? What happens when you want to update it? What happens when something needs, supported as far as updates on the back end of things? So not just hiring it out, but also finding a reputable person or company that you can trust.
Do you do things other than just the website? Do you help with collateral and some other things, or are you specifically very niche in that?
So I do a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats. Sometimes I get myself in deeper than I want to be just because I do have that nature of wanting to help people. But my team specifically, we're comprised of myself, who I primarily do the websites and web design. And then I have a designer who does like graphic design type things. So logos, if you want print material, that kind of thing. And then I've got another web designer on my team, a social media person. And I'm always looking for ways to collab with other people. That way, whole web works can be a one-stop shop for people, and they don't need to worry about, well, I've got to go to you for websites, and I've got to go here for something else and here for something else. Like, I want them to have that relationship to where, and even if it's not something I do currently offer, at least maybe I know somebody who can. I want to be their resource.
Yeah. And the one thing that I like about that is that there's consistency across the brand, right? So if you have someone who's doing social media posts, they're and you're the, Chelsea Phillips is the owner of the company who's overseeing things, I'm guessing you're going to make sure that there's consistency in the look and the brand and it's clear.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm not going to work with somebody that I don't trust. And I think that's what my clients appreciate too, is they know that. And if I don't trust the person, I'm not going to work with them. I'm not going to recommend them. So it's not like I'm just, oh yeah, like come work under me and I don't know that much about you. I know the people that work with me very, very well. So I would trust them wholeheartedly.
So, Chelsea, where do we go to find out more information about you?
Yeah, so my website is wholewebworks.com, and you can go out there, and I'm on also Instagram, Facebook, all that. Though we're kind of like the cobbler and his kids have no shoes. Our social media sometimes doesn't get as much attention just because we're so busy helping everybody else. But I'm on all the platforms, and but the primary location would be wholewebworks.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. And I encourage you, if you are trying to do your own DIY, stop right now. Go reach out to Chelsea. Go check her out. Go see some of the sites that are on her, some of the examples that she has, because you do nice work. But yeah, thank you for sharing your wisdom and educating us on the mistakes that we're making on our websites.
Yeah, thank you for your time.